Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, I want a pony. I want a gray pony in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what do you think of my prayer? How do you think it's going to turn out? You remember as a kid, you prayed those prayers, Lord Jesus, I want a pony, or I don't know, whatever else it was that you were looking for. And maybe as an adult, we pray something like this, Dear Lord, I want a Ferrari, and I want a red Ferrari in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the gospel reading for today says some very interesting words, which could give me comfort as I'm hoping for my pony or Ferrari. John 16:23 says, Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. What do you think? Is that how it works? I think we can get that idea in our mind, and then we get disappointed when we don't get our pony or our Ferrari or the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the riches or whatever else we're asking for. Because, hey, we prayed sincerely, right? Sometimes we get the idea that the prayers go up and the blessings come down, as that song would say. And it says also in Luke chapter 9, And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So how does this whole thing work? You see, God isn't some kind of holy vending machine that you insert your prayer into the system and then out comes your prayer request as you dial in the particular number of the item that you want. It would be nice if it worked out that way, but it doesn't. And you've had the experience when you prayed for something, whether it was something simple like a pony or a Ferrari, but when you've prayed other various serious things, you've been disappointed or frustrated when the Lord has not answered the way you were hoping. When you have that friend who is going through an illness, who is struggling with cancer, with someone who is going through a very, very difficult time, and you care about them, you love them, and you're praying to the Lord on their behalf. You've put them on the prayer line, and you're asking your friends to pray for them. But the frustrating thing is when the prayer doesn't seem to be answered. When the person that you prayed for who has that illness, who has the cancer, is actually getting worse. And it looks pretty hopeless, and pretty soon you get the news that so-and-so passed away, and it raises a couple questions. Well, perhaps you didn't pray effectively enough. Maybe you didn't pray hard enough. Maybe you didn't pray loud enough. Maybe you didn't pray long enough. Maybe you didn't get enough people to pray. Perhaps if you get more people, more people on the prayer line, then maybe the prayer would have been answered. Or maybe you didn't use the right words. Or maybe you didn't have enough faith. Maybe if you had just had more faith, then that prayer would have been answered. That's one of the things that may go through our minds when the prayer is not answered the way we want it to be prayed, or to be answered. The second thing that can happen is we can think, maybe that promise given in the Bible isn't actually true. Maybe it's nice sounding that God will answer our prayers the way that it says there in the scriptures, but maybe it's not actually true. Maybe you've been there wrestling with this difficult situation of praying fervently, asking other people to pray, and the prayer request that you have asked for still doesn't get answered. I'd like to look at that passage a little bit today. First of all, give you the context of where that is being said. Jesus is continuing the dialogue with his disciples in the upper room before he is headed to go to the cross. Last week, we talked about the passage of loving one another, and that was also in the upper room. Jesus is still talking for a couple of chapters, and now he's been speaking to them about a number of important things. He's been speaking to them that he's going to go and prepare a place for the disciples. He speaks about him being the way, the truth, and the life. He promises the Holy Spirit. He says that the disciples will be hated in the world, and then he speaks about the coming persecution. He speaks about a number of things, and then he adds to that what we talked about earlier in John chapter 16, 23. John chapter 16, 23 says, In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. So what Jesus is doing is he's preparing the disciples for what is going to happen. He's preparing them for his journey to the cross, but also after that, when he rises from the dead, he's going to be ascending. Next week, by the way, is Ascension Day. And he points out that when that time comes, they will be able to pray to the Father in his name. I think there's a key there. As we pray to the Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, because it's through Jesus that God has made himself known. It's through Jesus that he's revealed himself. A lot of people have prayed to different deities, but there's absolutely no guarantee that any of those prayers will be heard. Why? Because they're not praying to the true God. But how does the true God reveal himself? It says clearly in the scriptures that God has revealed himself through the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus says some words to his disciples in John chapter 16. He says, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. You see that connection of Jesus and the Father, and throughout his ministry you will see how Jesus has a very intimate connection, relationship with God the Father. Always submitting himself to the Father's will, even though Jesus is equally God with God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian mystery, and yet Jesus is subservient to the Father in regard to his humanity. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. And Colossians chapter 1 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So one thing for us to know as we are approaching the Lord in prayer is that we do not approach the Lord apart from what Jesus has done. We do not approach God apart from Jesus, who has made access to God available to us by his blood. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So through Christ, we have access to the Father. As a baptized child of God, you have the privilege, as I spoke to the children in the children's message, of coming to the Father knowing that you will be heard. Day or night, whether it's 2 in the morning, whether it's 5 a.m., whatever time of day you are praying, you will be heard as we approach through the blood of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Now, let's talk about this idea, in the name of Jesus. Now, on the one hand, we could get the idea that in the name of Jesus means that we tag on in Jesus' name to whatever we're praying, right? Lord Jesus, I pray for my gray pony in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray for the Ferrari, et cetera, in Jesus' name. Is that praying in Jesus' name? Well, you're using the words in Jesus' name, but it's not necessarily praying in the name of Jesus. Because as we're praying in the name of Jesus, there's an aspect where we are wanting to have God's will be done, even as Jesus desired that the will of the Father be done. I read an interesting illustration in a commentary recently, and it, I think, illustrates an interesting point about this. Now, the illustration speaks of you meeting a CEO, meeting the president of an organization, meeting someone who's very powerful. And you go to coffee with this person, and you hit it off pretty well. And the president of the company, he says, you know what? If you're ever in the area at my business here on this street, tell him that I sent you, and they'll treat you well. Maybe you've had that experience. You know someone in a business. You've made a connection. Tell them that so-and-so sent me, and they'll treat you well. Well, as you were going to go to that local business and you were to mention, name drop, the name of the president, and maybe you were going to ask for something, maybe you were asking a favor or a request, what you would be asking, however, would be in line with the desires of the president. You wouldn't be asking something that would go contrary to what the president desired for his company and for you. It would be stupid and ludicrous. And in the same manner, as we approach the Lord in prayer, the prayers in Jesus' name are those prayers that are in line with the will of God. The prayers that are for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's interesting how Jesus prays when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. After he's been there with the disciples in the upper room, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is a difficult time for Jesus. And we hear Jesus praying to the Father, and he says, Lord, if it be possible, please remove this cup from me. He's referring to the suffering that he's about to experience. Lord, if it be possible, please remove this cup from me. I don't want to suffer. Jesus didn't want to experience pain. He didn't want to experience humiliation, naked upon a cross, bleeding, having people spit upon him. He didn't want that. Lord, if it be possible, please remove this cup from me, but not my will. Yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And I think that's one of the hardest parts of the Lord's Prayer sometimes for us. It's the hardest thing when we are requesting that thing, when we're requesting that a friend of ours would receive healing, that we would request whatever it is that's upon our heart and mind. But can we also pray, thy will be done, trusting that the Father truly does know best? Remember our friend the Apostle Paul, when he prayed, it says in the scriptures, he prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh, whatever this thing that was bugging him, he prayed three times that the thorn in the flesh would be removed. And God said to him this, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. He didn't answer the request the way that Paul was expecting or hoping, but he says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. There's a song that came to my mind this week, and it's an interesting song by our friend Garth Brooks. Anybody a country music fan at all? Maybe a little bit? You can raise your hand. It's okay. I grew up in a country town, and I kind of despise country music, and now I look back and say, that was silly. There's some good country music out there. Garth Brooks, he's a pretty decent guy, or a pretty decent artist, and he wrote a song called Unanswered Prayers. Some of you have heard that song, Unanswered Prayers. I'll share a little bit. I think it's quite relevant, actually. He's sharing this story, as they do in country music songs. He said, just the other night, a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame, and as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one that I'd wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if he'd only grant me this wish, I wished back that I'd never ask for anything again. He continues, and he says, as he looks at this girlfriend again, she wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me. In her eyes, too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And he looks at his wife and he realized that the Lord had provided him with the right spouse. And he looks back realizing that it was good that God didn't answer the prayer the way that he was hoping about that old girlfriend. And the chorus says, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." I would change the lyrics a little bit because I know God always answers prayer. But we know that he sometimes says no, and that's because he loves you. But are we willing to trust that our God knows best? As we pray in the name of Jesus according to the will of God, are we willing to accept the answer that God gives to us? I learned recently from a pastor friend about a woman named Marge who had cancer. And Marge was getting worse, and people were praying for her. And when the pastor came and asked Marge what he could be praying about for her, she said this. She said, "Pastor, I ask that God's will would be done in the midst of my cancer." Interestingly enough, Marge did not ask for healing, but she said, "I pray that God's will would be done in the midst of my cancer." And this pastor went on to tell me that because of Marge's cancer, she met three different individuals at the hospital who then came to know the Lord because of Marge's witness. These three people who would not have heard the gospel from Marge otherwise if Marge had not had cancer. And Marge did pass away, and she's with the Lord, looking forward to the resurrection of the body, being there with Jesus. But she did pass away. But her prayer was honored, that God's will would be done, that through her life and death, three people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ so that they would have eternal life. How cool is that? And you see, what happens is as we pray in the name of Jesus, there will be joy. Yes, there will be struggles and difficulties, but there in the end will be joy. As we pray in the name of Jesus, trusting that God will do for us what is best for the kingdom. I have a mentor who has reminded me to have a kingdom focus. A kingdom focus. And what's a kingdom focus? A kingdom focus is this. It's nothing about me. It's all about him. And all I do is kingdom work. Kingdom work. It's nothing about me. It's all about him. And all I do is kingdom work. And I'll tell you, there is incredible joy as we are used by the Lord for the sake of the kingdom. And you know what's neat? Along the way, the Lord does give certain blessings that are used for the sake of the kingdom. And yes, sometimes it's even a car. Just yesterday, I was at the farmer's market over in Independence, and it's so fun. I met so many people over there, and there was this one lady who's a mom of seven kids, and she was telling me how God provided for her and her family. Now, when you get seven kids, you got a transportation conundrum. How are you going to fit all the kids legally in a vehicle? Well, they needed a vehicle, and they were praying to the Lord. She and her husband were praying for the transportation. And she kind of had a specific idea in mind what she was looking for to some extent. And lo and behold, they found a family that had a 15-passenger van that they were giving away to bless someone. They wanted to bless someone. They had this van, and they wanted to just give it to someone. And this couple that had seven kids found out that this van was available, and it was in great condition. They thought that it would be kind of a crummy van if somebody's just giving it away. But no, it was in good condition. It was even a color that they liked. And it was great. It was a red van. It wasn't a Ferrari. It wasn't a Ferrari van. It was a Dodge Ram van. But it was a red one. And it served them. It's been a huge blessing for them. But not only for them, but the mom has shared how she's also transported other people's kids and has been a blessing to other people because they have extra seats. They got 15 people they can hold. And so it's neat how, yes, in that case, they did get a vehicle. But you see how God used that vehicle not only to bless them, but also for the sake of the kingdom, for other brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's where we have joy. That's where there is joy, when we see God at work answering our prayers, and he will answer your prayers in the name of Jesus, be assured of that. And then there is joy as we realize his kingdom work being done in our lives. 1 John chapter 5, 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked him." Matthew 6, 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And finally, Romans 8, 28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Lord's blessings to all of you as you continue to pray in the name of Jesus, and what a privilege that is. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.